Visit theRazzy@boo1.co.uk. Present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 328. It's the Christmas special, everyone.
Yay!
Merry Christmas, Lord bless everyone.
Managed to come up as the most unenthusiastic, yay, of the team.
Yeehaw!
Right, I'm Adam, and skills no hush, I've got a lot of work to do, and here's Debbie Melrose.
You ready to say wee?
Mary Lang.
I brought snacks, mark of a pro.
Andy Nunny.
Change of mind.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Well, I certainly hope this unpleasant experience hasn't put you off a career in journalism.
Was that your deep traveling superhero?
Well done.
Love it.
Yes. Yes, today we're going to be looking at the return of Dr. Mysterio. But first, it's Christmas, so we need to discuss Christmas a little bit. So I'm going to say I can't remember entirely what I got for Christmas. I didn't get a lot of things. All I want for Christmas is a day off work and some time with the family. But I did get a lovely thing, which I'll show to the viewers, from the lovely Melrose family, which is my TARDIS plaque. I'm not going to read it out because there's quite a lot of words on it, but it's really, really cool and really unexpected, and I'm highly grateful for it. The other thing, I got a couple of T-shirts, Doctor Who T-shirts, which I essentially picked myself at the Doctor Who Experience. I'd forgotten about them, so when I unwrapped them, I was quite pleased that I had those. What else did I get? Oh, my favourite thing, and again, I picked it myself because I bought it on Amazon and gave it to my mother to give to me. And it's my favourite thing of all. I'm going to get it out here. This is, again, for the benefit of... Oh, damn, I just knocked the plaque on the floor. This is, if the viewers can see, this is a TARDIS bin. So if I put my foot, or what's going to my hand in this instance, on the pedal, up flips the lid. And the little light flashes. There you go. And in goes the rubbish. So once the rubbish is in, down goes the lid. A bit quieter because the speaker's on the inside.
I'm gonna switch headphones. This is ridiculous.
Isn't it? It's just the coolest thing ever. It's a TARDIS bin. Oh, I love it. Yeah. So that's
my other headphones.
That's my favourite Christmas item there that I can think of off the top of my head. I did have a few. Oh, I got a couple of bottles of sherry. That was particularly nice. What else did we get? I think that's about it, really.
Yeah. I didn't get anything.
Oh, got some smellies.
Actually, you fart so much, probably, by isn't it? I'm like you, Debbie. I didn't get it, though. I've still got two to come, so I'm hoping to get the Power of the Daleks DVD of one of my sisters. We're going to Birmingham tomorrow. Going to see two of my sisters then. But no, I got nothing Who related, though. That Zach did get four cuddly Daleks and a cuddly TARDIS that I found in Halfords.
Excellent. I wonder who's going to end up cuddling those.
You can see them on the picture on the Christmas morning picture on the bed. You can see there's they're the Teletubby Daleks. There's a yellow, there's an orange, a blue, a red, a white, and they all say either exterminate or you would make a good doctor. And there's a TARDIS that when you freeze it does the dematerialisation noise.
Sounds excellent, and I know who's going to end up playing with them.
Each from Halfords.
Yes. And the other thing I got was a Southampton football shirt, which is absolutely fantastic, which rather relates to what I should be really watching tonight rather than doing a podcast. But never mind. So we've heard what Andy got. Stormageddon got. We'll put Andy in inverted commas. How about you, Debbie Melrose?
Well, as I said to Andy, I didn't really get much in the way of Doctor Who, but I got a lovely map of Middle-earth, the route to the Lonely Mountain on parchment from Tom that's being framed, and that's going to go above my desk. And then I got another map of Middle-earth as well that's going to go somewhere else in the house, I don't know where, and just a few nice bits and some ornamenty bits from... How are you going to bed, Isla? Are you come for a kiss? Okay, from this young people.
From Are You Going to Bed, Isla? Is that a new line of...
What did you think of Doctor Who? You watched it. What did you think? Answer.
It was all right.
Answer.
Oh, she can't speak.
You will obey. Answer.
Thumbs up or thumbs down? Middling.
Middle Earth.
Thumb in the middle. She was a bit scared of the brains. Okay. Brain bits, but yeah.
Well, brains have appeared in various science fiction garbs.
Yeah, she's not very keen on them.
No. It's a shame she's not very keen on them, because her mother's got quite a lot of them. Anyway,
flattering, honestly.
Yes. Debbie, you're saying you got the map of Middle Earth. We got something similar. We got a literary map of London, and it's all the fictitious and real place being used in all the story, like Dickens and Shakespeare and Agatha Christie. And it's fascinating.
I got some maps too.
Did you?
All right.
We all got maps.
He got apps for his phone. That's
maps,
what he's talking
maps
about.
Maps of the Disney parks.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said you got some apps. Sorry, beg your pardon.
Maps. I got a book full of maps of the Disney parks.
Yes.
And I also got a little metal canine that I have to put together. Mm. I'm going to have to borrow some jewelers' tools to do it.
From Reese.
Yeah?
If I have to read it, will with only one L be in a pout 5 minutes, just have to
a
step
pout.
So he's going to pout at us, apparently.
He's going to pout, okay, fair enough.
I also got something else.
Oh, yeah?
That I got a few days early.
Yes.
Echo.
Oh, no, please shut up. No.
Would you like a jelly baby?
Oh, for God's sake. No, it wouldn't.
I wasn't able to understand.
Oh,
she
Echo's...
wasn't able to understand. Echo.
Oh, God.
Would you like a jelly baby?
Yes, please. Doctor.
Oh, very good.
That's cute.
My Siri calls me Master, actually. So I think that's a bit more accurate. Right then.
Echo.
What?
May the force be with you.
And with you.
Shut up. Mary, what did you get?
Echo.
Oh, Jesus.
Shut up.
I got my memberships to next year's Chicago TARDIS and the Time Lord Expo paid for by my daughter, so
aww.
I'm real happy about that.
Yay!
And a niece of mine that lives in Cleveland, she's supportive of my Doctor Who stuff. She sent me this ginormous TARDIS mug.
Oh.
It's probably holds the equivalent of three regular mugs of coffee. And it's got the public telephone sign on one side, and it's got the St. John Ambulance on the back side. So it's really pretty. I don't know if I'll ever drink that much coffee.
You just reminded me, Mary, of something else I got. I'm going to have to try and summon Isabella.
I got tickets to
Isabella!
Harry
Potter! Ooh, Isabella!
Potter!
Sorry, carry on. Carry on, Mary. Sorry.
Oh, that's and other than that, just not like I got sweaters and stuff like that. So that was my Doctor Who haul.
Anybody get socks?
Yeah, I didn't get any socks. Isabella got some socks.
Oh, my youngest daughter got socks. When we gave them to her, she said, "Mary is free."
Well, Isabella got loads of Star Wars stuff, which is obviously adds a tinge of sadness, obviously, because we lost Carrie Fisher yesterday, not to mention George Michael. And
she'll be in the next episode.
Every other celebrity in
she's
the face
to be
of the
a
planet.
Major part of both episodes 8 and 9, but they've only filmed 8, so I wonder what they'll do with that.
Well, Dawn and I...
CGI.
Yeah,
like we do with Peter Cushing.
Yeah.
Well, Dawn and I, we bought each other our annual memberships and passes for the Guildford Shakespeare Company, which they do about 5 or 6 tours a year, and we get reserve seating, we're members, we get invited to like guest evenings, we get reserve seats, we get our names in the program on the website. It's something we do because they're a really good company, help support a local company. They're the ones that had Brian Blessed appeared with them a couple of years ago. They were doing King Lear, and he had to pull out after about 5 or 6 performances because of ill health. He actually collapsed on stage, poor bloke.
Good Lord.
Pardon?
I said, good Lord.
I thought you were bored. Sorry, I thought it was rather rude. I thought I must have misheard you. But he had to... and there's a lot of people complaining because they wanted to come and see him and couldn't, and they wouldn't get refunds. But you don't get refunds for things like that. So,
Anyway, yes, sorry, could you be very so kind? This is Isabella Pearson, everybody. The viewers will be able to see her Star Wars thing, which is back to front. It does actually say, Star Wars, not Rats Swore. It is actually Star Wars. Could you do us a favour?
And before we talk about
Christmas, etc., etc., could you go and get the thing that Alicia got me? It should be on, I think it's on the floor in there. I'm just going to... Pardon? No. She's just going to hopefully find her, go and get the thing that one of the things that Alicia, two things, one of the things Alicia got me. The other thing was, you know, those sort of virtual reality spec things that you put your phone in, you sort of that, those things. She got me one of them, which is rather cool. But she also got me this thing. Shut the door, please. It's getting very cold in here. But with you on the inside. Oh, not that. Oh, she's coming in.
Hello.
No, you're not watching the film then.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So she got me this. The viewers will be able to see. It's rather cool and rather large. Don't get upset, Debbie, because I know you got a teapot a couple of years ago. Right, and I still have the teapot. It's still in private place in the kitchen. But at least you got me this teapot. She's a Dalek on... Well, it's a Dalek teapot, really.
Cool.
It's rather cool.
It's rather,
I get upset. I love teapots. It's about twice the capacity of my biggest mug. So basically, I'll probably get two full cups of tea out of that one if I ever get
Echo.
To use it. Oh, here we go.
What is the carrying capacity of an unladen swallow?
I will be going upstairs.
Not this. We need to ask you the question first, Isabella.
Okay.
Shut the door first.
You're repeating, Mum.
What's the question?
I'll tell you in a minute. Put your teapot back in the box. It's a rather cool box, actually. I'm going to keep the box, everybody, because look how
cool. It's a cool box, is it? So, well, so I've got ice packed in.
It's a really cool box. Very funny, but it's got...
That was quite... Come on, that was pretty sharp, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. Right, so that's my present from Alicia, which was very nice. Right then, Isabella.
Oh.
Sorry, did I club you on my elbow? Isabella, right. Sorry, see if we can get any nearer the microphone. I didn't touch your toe. Come here. Come here.
Yes.
Right. So you watched an episode of Doctor Who on Christmas Day, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
How did you... Were you able to follow it, despite people talking a lot? If anybody watched my our sort of... video of us watching it live, you'll notice that the distractions I had to try and get past while watching the show, we had to get past, but were you able to follow it despite that?
No, not really, because it was so noisy.
Well, I was able to.
I wasn't really following it because,
so why didn't you watch it again when you got home?
I'm sorry, Daddy.
All right, so judging not on what you could follow of it, what did you think?
I thought it was actually pretty good.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for that. So 40-minute show condensed down to one syllable. Essentially, goodbye.
Echo.
Oh, God.
What is the answer to life, the universe, and everything?
The meaning of life depends on the life in question. 42 is a good approximation.
Okay. Debbie?
Yes?
Can you tell Kirby to shut up, please?
Echo? Tell Kirby to shut up.
She can't hear you.
Well, that's convenient, isn't it?
Right, tell me to shut up.
I wasn't able to understand the question I heard.
Oh, dear.
Did you hear about the guy who is accused of strangling his own home, and they're going to be using the recording that Echo picked up in the home?
Yes, I heard about that.
Against him, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right, I do hope you're not going to keep on doing that throughout the show, Kirby, because I think it might get a little bit on the annoying side. It might get me a little bit cross.
Annoying.
And you wouldn't, or it might, in fact, get me rather angry, and you wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Echo.
Oh, God.
Would we like to make Adam angry?
Sorry, Reese is on, I can't find the answer to the question I heard.
Adam, Reese is online.
Is he?
Yes.
Oh. Yes, he is.
And you got a loud voice.
Oh, my goodness. We haven't heard from him in
Happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Haya and Robin.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Reese.
Same to you and yours.
Reese.
Yes.
What Andy said.
Oh, thank you.
right, we were just discussing, Reese, so what sort of Doctor Who-related things we got for Christmas. In sort of interlaced with the things we got for Christmas that we weren't Doctor Who related, which we liked as well. So what did you get?
Yeah, fair enough. Well, Doctor Who related, I got Doctor Who Monopoly, which looks
quite really cool,
isn't
it?
Yet. Sorry?
I said I've got that. It's really cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
We played Star Wars Monopoly on Christmas Day. Isabella one.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's completely different cool. Star Wars Monopoly to any other version of Monopoly. Anyway, carry on.
Well, speaking of Star Wars, that's a good segue into the fact that I got three shirts, two of which are Star Wars themed. One of them has Darth Vader and the caption, "I am your father," which is quite fitting because, you know, Robin.
It's
and
quite
all that.
Fitting if it's a T-shirt.
And then I also got a BB-8 one with the caption, "That's how I roll." And then the third shirt isn't quite Star Wars related, but it is Disney related. It was a Doctor Strange shirt.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, yeah. Isabella got a BB-8 like alarm clock thing.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Oh, speaking of alarm clocks, that's why I'm late. So through the Reese Parton Book of Excuses, I set so that I could hear it through my headphones only because I didn't want to wake Haya and Robin up because they're in the same room as me. Yeah. And then as I was asleep, my headphones fell out, so I couldn't hear it at all.
A whole list of excuses. This is fantastic.
Exactly.
I've just been joined by Stormageddon, who's looking very puzzled at me.
I'm not surprised.
Anything, you have anything to say, Zach? Say something.
Hello.
Say hello. They met some nice people.
He said no, he's never going to say anything. You say hello to the nice people.
Standing on my lap.
He's
puzzled by the headphones.
Hi, Stormy.
So, say something. Say hello. Come on. No, I don't want to say anything.
I don't blame him.
He's a little shy.
Yes, Kirby?
What time is it?
It is currently 6:25 in the morning.
Good. He started saying, "Reese, what time?" And is it not Echo? What time is it? So we're moving forward on the show.
No, I unplugged Echo because she was taking up bandwidth.
Getting me annoyed. Yes, well done.
No, right. she was taking up bandwidth, so I unplugged her.
Oh, good. Right then.
I was asking as well because I am considering texting Julia, who is in Noosa, Australia, right now.
All right. Mm. Oh, I see. Okay. So it was relevant.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Everybody, Reese.
And she'll be going to Lady Elliot Island, I think, either today or tomorrow.
Of course, she's getting about it. Anyway, Reese is back on the show, everyone. That deserves this.
Yay.
Yay. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Back on the show, maybe overstating things. He's just visiting today.
Look, yes, like the Doctor, I've been gone for a while, but I'm back for this episode.
And only for the Christmas episode.
New Pretty series much. Starts in March, well, April, springtime.
So perhaps you can join us then.
Quite possibly.
That would be nice.
That would be very
that
nice.
That would be very.
I love the way that Mary played it down. He's only here for today, because I played her theme tune. Anyway, right, we're going to be looking at a certain episode of Doctor Who right now. And the story itself begins with a rather cool sort of cartoon strip thing, which I thought was rather a nice sort of tribute to the so many Doctor Who comic strips that have existed since the early 60s. That's what I thought anyway. If you look at some of the pictures, they are quite relevant to the
spots. Joe's Pizza. Peter Parker worked at Joe's Pizza in Spider-Man 2.
Thank you for that. Cool, isn't it? So, yes, we're in an American
sort of...
get sent back if it's cold. And the American sort of back streets depicted in this very comic book. And,
sorry, can I just interrupt before Kirby jumps in again? Yeah. astonishing number of posts I saw after it saying it was just a parody of Spider-Man or Superman. I was astonished that people hadn't paid attention. I just wanted to say that so many people were like, it was just a rip-off of Superman.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that afterwards.
Christmas Carol was a rip-off of A Christmas Carol and The Doctor.
Exactly.
Yes, carry on, Kirby.
That street, that New York street, do you know where it is in reality?
Probably in Britain somewhere.
Nope.
Oh.
Bulgaria.
Oh, was it?
Oh, Bulgaria. Yes.
Bulgaria.
Same for you.
Cool. Well, that's interesting. But anyway, basically, we're looking around this sort of American sort of backstreet sort of thing. And obviously, they've shown it's a comic book thing. So they're sort of set in the background of being in some sort of area that you would relate to being familiar to fans of, you know, Spider-Man, Superman or whatever. We're in a room with a sort of baby monitor, and then suddenly there's a man sort of asleep, so he dreams about his childhood, obviously, and then we have a flashback. It's clearly a flashback, very quickly. Even me and Deb, realise fairly quick it was a flashback, whereas my mother-in-law goes, "Oh, what's happening here? This is really confusing." Like two seconds into the programme. He's a flashback. He's remembering something from his childhood.
It was pretty common Stephen Moffat stuff, to be
honest. Yeah, but yeah, it's fairly obvious that he was flashing back, you know. But it was good. And then we see the doctor swinging in front of front of the window upside down because he's been messing around. he's trying to get it. What?
The swinging doctor scenes, there's two different actors involved. One is a stuntman who's actually hanging upside down. Mm. The other, they actually have Peter Capaldi lying on his back, and they're swinging a the camera above him.
Okay. Thank you for that.
We last night at the screening in the theater, they had a half-hour-long making of, which was fascinating.
That's a bit mean, because I never got to see this half an hour making off. But anyway, but I suppose you have to get something extra for your money to get into the cinema. Right, anyway, so he's trying to get into this window where the little boy is, because he's hanging from a rope, which is gradually fraying and sparking and stuff. And it does eventually snap after the little boy says that his mum says he can come in because he thinks it's Father Christmas. And
after shutting his the window in his hand.
Yes.
Yes.
Capaldi's ow was brilliant.
Yes. And of course he gets in and he goes, ho, 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 which I thought was quite funny. And
Green Giant.
Yeah, he's reading the comics. He's reading the comics that little Grant has been reading, and obviously that has a precursor to... Pardon?
He's drawing on them as well.
Yes.
Yeah,
drawing glasses, yeah.
Yeah, when I was little, I used to watch Star Trek and draw pictures from Star Trek as I was watching it and create my own little episodes.
On the TV screen, that would have been difficult.
It would
really stop it. I've got enough from Kirby to deal with. So anyway, they go up to the roof. The doctor gives him a little gemstone to look after while he gets the machine ready for the gemstone to go in the machine. But unfortunately, he sort of implies to the little boy, because he's called Doctor, that, and he's obviously got a cough, he's not very well, he's got a cold, he gives him a glass of water, and he thinks the little gemstone is medicine, naturally, as you would do, being a nine-year-old. Mm-hmm. And
it's largely a tablet, isn't it? I mean,
know that. You think it might be one of those melting in the throat things. Anyway,
maybe these Scottish types are a bit weird with their medicine.
if you try a thing called Scottish tablet, it's like a really sweet meat thing, and it really is hard to get down. Door makes it sometimes. It's like it will be something like that. It's really hard.
I haven't tried that. No, but nevertheless, he does try it, and of course, immediately gets these superpowers and starts floating up in the air. And
Master,
yes.
Did you? Did anyone notice that what this device on the roof was supposed to do was? It was implied it was to correct the issue that occurred when Amy and Rory were isolated. In New York.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Oh, no, I didn't catch that.
I didn't pick up on that, no.
I didn't catch on to that. How did you catch on to that and we didn't?
Because he says something like, I'd have to find it here.
Ooh, he's got notes, everyone. He's serious today.
I've got the transcription of the subtitles.
Okay, I think Kirby might win the quiz, everyone.
I've got 8 pages. If
of subtitles.
I've got one.
Subtitles.
I've got 1 page of notes.
I've got very.
Have you found
memories.
It yet, Kirby? Because we really do need to move on.
Go ahead, keep moving on. I haven't found it. Oh wait, I might have found it.
Really? Yes,
let's see. The fact that he caused he's sorting out the what's it called?
A time distortion equalizer thingy.
Yeah, time distortion.
There's been a lot of localized disruption here in New York, so hopefully this will all make it all calm down.
Okay. Yeah. That was it, was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's the reference to Amy and Rory, basically.
Right. Anyway. So anyway, as I was saying, he starts floating up in the air, and then we see a shot of the doctor sort of hanging off Grant's legs as they fly around New York, and and then we come back to essentially present day, and because the baby's woken up, and older Grant is initially you think he's a daddy, but he turns out to be a nanny, and he's keeping on in contact with the baby's mum. And then the next shot, we go back in time, and we've got the Doctor and Grant on the top of a skyscraper, which I presume is the Empire State Building. I don't know.
But it's the Empire State Building, Master.
Yes, yes.
That set. How can you tell me how they probably did that?
Into the Empire State Building. I've been there, by the way. I've actually been up there photographing in my Birmingham shirt, and I had it published to the programme one day.
Cool. I was up there when I was about 23 years old, but I didn't have a camera. Okay. Anyway,
right.
They built that tower sideways on the set floor.
Oh, right, okay.
So they could make the big sweeping move up it.
Yeah.
And so they had... had the little boy kind of on this green screen thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Hopefully they'll put that making of out there for everyone to see.
Hopefully they will. But yeah, so that's when then we get the title sequence, and we're at this place. The company name is a bit too long for me to remember. It's something to do with Shoal. I can't remember that.
Oop. Master?
Oh, God.
These are the same people that were in last year's Christmas special.
Yes.
That's
Harmony Shoal.
Harmony Shoal.
Oh, yeah, Harmony Shoal. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I noticed the actor that was playing the German type, because he is German, I think, character. And I've seen him in loads of things. There's something quite familiar about him. I couldn't quite place him. And also the chap, the black guy who's doing all the speeches at the beginning, he's been in loads of things as well. I'm pretty sure he's been in Doctor Who.
His brother in Merlin.
Oh, of course. Thank you, Reese. Yeah. See, we got Reese back on the show for this reason, to allow me to remember what the blimmin' heck I was trying to remember. And of course, we also see Noddle.
As far as the guy who played Dr. Sim, Alexander Jovanovic, idea what he was in.
No, I've seen him in stuff before, but I thought somebody might remember specifically. Anyway, then we see Noddle. And, of course, we're thinking, how do you get out of that situation? But at least it is explained, rather flippantly explained, later on in the episode.
Reassembled, I think, was a phrase, wasn't it?
Yeah, reassembled, because the Doctor was going to get lonely. They arrange this, Mr. Sim, whatever his name is, and the bloke who runs the place, arranged to meet up at midnight, where he gets shown a load of brains with eyes.
Brains!
Quite cool, actually. The little eyes at the front of the brains. Meanwhile, that's all being watched.
If brains didn't have eyes, they'd be brands, wouldn't they?
Pardon?
If brains didn't have eyes, they'd be brands.
Very good. So Lucy's also watching what's going on. She hangs about. And obviously, security in this building not particularly brilliant. The Doctor, while eating sushi, also listening in what's going on.
It's okay, I'm an intruder too.
I brought snacks.
Mark a professional, keep listening. It's very funny.
So they're sort of spying what's going on, and it leads to him getting, or finding out he's going to be the host, or his body's going to be the host to one of these brains.
Yeah, fine.
Pardon? Beg your pardon, Andy?
So yeah, he says Dawn just come into the room. So we just I've got to entertain Storm again while Dawn cooks dinner. I was going to say just pass your little train down, but she's going to take away now.
Well, allow us to entertain Storm again, because that's what we do.
Well, no, he's time for him to go to bed.
Oh, okay.
So he's trying to switch the Prince on at the moment.
So yeah,
he loves anything sort of electronic.
Bye bye.
You going to say bye bye? No, you're not going to. No.
I'll say goodbye at the end of the episode.
Hang on. Everyone say goodbye. You've got the headphones on.
Bye-bye, Stormy.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Aw. Anyway.
Yes. He's a delightful little lad, isn't he? Night-night, Stormy. See you in the morning. Go to Birmingham tomorrow.
Oh, poor thing. You send him to bed with the knowledge he's going to Birmingham tomorrow? Poor kid. Anyway, there's a really cool bit when... obviously, he's having a bit of a... He's got a bit of cold, this Mr. Sim, whatever his name is. And he keeps on... This sort of green stuff keeps coming out of his nose. I don't quite understand why, because that didn't seem to happen to anyone else. But it's a really cool bit where he punches him and his head's slightly off sync, and he sort of just squidges it back into place again. That was a
You know what it reminded me of? It's the one of the last series with the Sands thing.
Yeah.
And that really put me in mind of that.
What do you mean, like the snaky creature? In one of the episodes, there was a snaky creature.
Supposed to be like in the Husbands of River Song. They're the same.
Yeah, same people, and it's the same effect, and like the same everything. Yeah. That kind of bothered me because why are they repeating this in the very next show?
I don't know, but it's a straight follow on from the previous episode. Is obviously with the River Song one because it's got the same some of the same aliens in it, isn't it?
So this is a two parter with the parts a year apart.
No, the parts are 24 years apart, surely.
one night apart.
Because when he started going on about loss and he was sad, and I thought, oh no, we're going down the Clara hole again.
Yeah,
that's different though. I let him off because he was married. Typical pardon, Mary.
Please be River. Please be River. Yes.
Typical Mary to lower the tone inadvertently.
Well, at this rate, it seems to be everyone, because if what Kirby was saying is correct about that machine he was building was to try to get the ponds back, he's just being the lonely god again, which is what Tennant was for a long time.
I don't think he's so much lonely now. He's mourning the loss of his missus, which I think is acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because
one night for him lasts 24 years, that's a long time for the Doctor to stay in one place, isn't it? 24 years. I know he essentially stayed in that loop for a million odd years, or it was billion years, was it? I don't know. I can't remember what it was.
I don't count that because it was only... It was a million or billion repetitions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a billion.
It was a whole lot of 10 minutes at a time or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But then, all right, we'll go back to what I said then. It's a long time for the Doctor to stay in one place, which is essentially what he did. He stayed with River for all that time. So he obviously is going to be quite sad to know that River's dead. So I'll give him a break on that one. But anyway, I forgot where I was now. You completely sidetracked. I was talking about... The fact that he got punched in the face, wasn't I? And that was quite cool. And then we see the creepy surgeons, one of which was friend of the show, John Davey.
Oh, really?
And it got me thinking that John Davey actually posted a picture of himself with the green makeup, which made him look like half Incredible Hulk, and actually called himself half Biff Bill Bixby, half Lou Ferrigno, or something like that. and then... Who was it? Jeff Waddle said that it was a remake of Bells of St. John. That really confused me, so...
nothing like it. That's probably the only thing you think of. The head's coming undone. That's the not coming undone with the heads with the things on the back. That's the only thing I think he meant.
I don't know. So anyway, like I say, the Doctor...
Master?
Oh, dear. Yes?
Those surgeons are... Do you suppose they're robots or what? I mean, are they people who they keep... locked up in closets all the time unless they're needed.
I don't know, but they've got those some strange sort of diagonal things. Obviously, that means they've got someone else's brain inside them.
Yeah, they've got the brains in them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Surgeons' brains, possibly.
It was implied that they had been surgically altered.
Yes. So, right. So, the Doctor...
I like they have those big butcher aprons on over there.
Yes.
Over their scrubs.
Surgeons, yes.
The Doctor and Lucy, I think, if I just move this forward a little bit, get captured by Mr. Thingy.
Sim. Dr. Sim.
John Sim. Didn't he play the Master?
Dr. Sim.
All right. Dr. Sim. Just when they're about to get shot, obviously, in the back, possibly, then the ghost turns up and...
This was the scene that was the preview scene that we saw a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't as well edited as it was on the final product. I watched it and I was going, this is a mess. In the actual show, it was good.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the way the window, you just tap the window and you saw it slowly cave in and down. And what you call it, glazier. And it just, the ghost was so cool there, wasn't it?
There's a few good little hints dropped in, all that can take four nuclear explosions or whatever, things like that. So obviously it's a precursor to what might happen later on, which is really cool. And we immediately see a little bit of chemistry between the ghost and Lucy. And then we have another flashback.
We hear a lot of parody lines, basically, of superheroes, like, I refuse to do lasting damage, but mild concussion and bruises is fine, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then we have another flashback to the Doctor telling the young Grant that he must never use his special powers. Or promise not to use them, of course.
Yeah, he says something like, Grant asks, am I going to be okay? And he goes, nothing's sure, but sure. And then he says, but you have to promise me, don't use your powers. Grant's quiet for a second and then goes, sure.
Yeah.
That was a very
funny. Yeah. So then the Doctor goes back to and goes to have a chat with the adult Grant, because he's basically telling him off for not actually using his special powers after all. And then, of course, we then realise that he is in love with Lucy. Lucy sort of...
I wonder how we know that.
..sort of likes him, Master? But doesn't realise it. Yes.
Master, the standard bit where comic book characters have alliterative names popped in there, because even though she's Lucy Fletcher, her married name is Lucy Lombard, and he's Grant Gordon, so it's the G-G-L-L...
And of course, he was the Doctor was Don Dangerous, wasn't he?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Okay. So then he goes to visit the Grant, teenage Grant, who's got X-ray vision problems and won't look up because.
I'm thinking about the X-ray visions. You'd just see the bones, wouldn't you? So you wouldn't actually see just on the clothing. Your X-ray would actually.
Well, there's probably some point in which you would only just see through the clothes before you get to see the bones. So I think that he couldn't control it, could he? Because he had hormonal problems.
I bet he found that really hard, didn't he?
Oh, very funny, yes.
You know, he says Lois Lane's underwear is pink in the first Superman movie. It was a bit of a homage to that.
Yeah, yes. But the bit where the girls go past and he starts floating up in the air, the Doctor pulls him back down again. It's quite amusing.
Well, Lucy goes past.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, what did I say?
The girls.
All right. Because it's Lucy, not because he could see all the girls naked at all. It was just because it was Lucy. Yeah.
Well, that's okay. What the Doctor says. Well, you can tell you like her. Why? How can you tell? And he looks up. And there he is, floating.
Yeah.
Somebody had levitated, obviously.
So, So that's quite a few good little scenes where Grant sort of changes into the ghost and deals with a few minor little problems and still gets back in time to deal with the baby and have a conversation with Lucy and
but
stuff.
The real man wouldn't leave the baby at all.
No.
Very true. Right.
Quite right. You'd agree with that, wouldn't you, Reece?
Yeah, yes. That's what the Doctor said. You know, Doctor said to him, you know, the real man wouldn't leave the baby alone, but I can get back in seconds. It's like, doesn't matter. You wouldn't have left the baby on your own.
Yes, very good. I did pick up on that. I also picks up on the bit where when Lucy is sort of grilling the Doctor and she's got this little this sort of squeezy
Huffle.
Toy,
Mr.
which
Huffle.
Is really cool.
Huffle.
I'm sure those will become available.
Yeah, that's a brilliant idea. I absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. And I think they make a rather good dog toy. I was moving on a bit.
Because fire prevention is the responsibility of every citizen, get a smoke detector.
Yes. Anyway, right. So, of course, we have rather glossed over the fact that the baby is Lucy's. Lucy had a relationship with someone who ran off once the baby was born. But, of course...
it was Grant's best friend.
Grant's best friend. But Grant stays with her because he loves her. But Lucy actually likes Grant, but... They're sort of not saying much about it at the moment. Pardon?
She doesn't know it yet, does she?
She sort of defends him verbally a couple of times, doesn't she? Which makes you think, oh, yeah.
Ironically, to him.
Yeah, that's right. There's another really good scene which some Doctor Who fans might not like, because some Doctor Who fans, are quite fickle. But it's the telephone scene where the screen splits.
Yes.
You see the Doctor wandering into the part of the split screen, which is exactly how it would be in a cartoon. You see part of the characters merging over.
Why would someone not like
because
that? I don't understand.
Some Doctor Who fans have moaned about this. I've heard about this, that they've not liked various aspects of this story. And I've heard it. In fact, I got one of my friends, a local person, and photographer, Duncan, who said, "Oh, go on." I don't know what is it, Gallifrey Base or something like that, because there's loads of people moaning about it. I said I don't go on politically based Doctor Who sites because all they're going to do is talk about the show politically. It's a TV show. I prefer to talk about the more positive aspects of it. Yes, we'll gloss over the negative things, but essentially, it's a TV show we're fans of. So I'm looking at the positives. So I'm not going to even look at people who want to deliberately moan about the show for the sake of it.
Well, the consensus last night while watching it in a theater Everyone loved it.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that later. We're still in the middle of them at the moment, Kirby.
Well, most of those theater screenings do bring out the people who love it anyway.
Yeah, it is very good, but much better watched in a group, in a large crowd, Doctor Who, actually.
Yeah.
You know, I'll watch the anniversary special in, you know, at the Excel in a large crowd. Got home, it was brilliant, and got home and watched it, it was brilliant again. And again, everybody says that's the best episode so far, so that was might have been just good luck, I don't know. Anyway, right, so back to the story. All right, just move it forward because we're just having conversational bits going on between Grant and Lucy. And then they the aliens decide that that they need to capture the ghost because they need to basically have his body for one of the brains.
Best vehicle this world has to offer, as they call it.
How did they expect to cut into it? Because he's basically invincible.
Essentially,
well, that's what it refers to, isn't it? It's like you can have a long time, yes, but we're patient.
I suppose they could have knocked him out.
There's a brilliant bit in that scene when they're talking about that. They have a closer look at the doctor, and then suddenly he looks at the camera and goes, boo! And then he's actually there, and he's been using the screwdriver.
Yeah.
And they look up, there he is. Very clever. Yeah.
Oh, well, by the way, Reese, one of your compatriots has just joined the viewership of the show. That's Billy Kirkbright. Hello, Billy.
Hello, Billy. How you doing? I like your eyebrows.
We've had a few comments come through, which I haven't seen for some reason, so I do apologise. Anybody's posting comments on this thread, I can't actually see them. Some problem with the...
That's from page 47 in book 94 of Reese Parton's Book of Excuses.
That's not an excuse. It's actually what's happening, Reese. It's a completely different thing.
Yes, that's... technically what we are saying all the time anyway.
Still applies.
Yeah, so I've lost where I was. Oh, yeah, then we get the sort of stereotypical thing with these aliens of the fact that he hides a gun in his head and peels his head apart to get a gun.
As Haya said while we were watching it, couldn't he put it in his pocket?
The pocket would have been just as good a place to hide it.
They had the practical effect ready, so they wanted to use it again a year later.
Obviously, yes.
Yeah. It's also more intimidating, I suppose.
I mean, how attention-grabbing is opening your head?
Yeah. And then he whistles and the TARDIS materialises over him because Nardole's materialised the TARDIS over him. Nardole is wearing, at this point, some sort of Chinese
Constantinople.
Constantinople,
yeah. He was a firm but wise ruler.
I love that, yeah.
He's flying the TARDIS, apparently he's put it down, and then Nardole just puts it back up very slowly. And just
Lucy has a plan. She's going to go on the date with the ghost because she's had a phone call with him. So Grant makes himself ready. And then this is the point in which they capture them, basically. Though how they actually capture... because they threaten to kill Lucy.
They go through that whole conversation where she prefers Grant and he's about to reveal that he's Grant if she just looked up.
And he has his mask off. She turns around, it's back on again.
He put it back on when she starts talking about how he would never lie to her.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
because he's obvious. That's obviously a lie.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, they do come in and they threaten basically to kill her to sort of try and get control of a Grant or stroke ghost. But it doesn't last long.
What, to ghost?
Hey?
Throw to ghost?
What do you mean?
Your ghost.
Sorry.
You've lost me. Anyway, right, so... but at some point he has to apologise and sort of flies off anyway. Meanwhile, the Doctor and Nardole have materialised on their spaceship, which has got a nuclear bomb on it. And
it looked like the interior of the TARDIS from a few years ago.
I suppose it did. Yes. And the Doctor has his brilliant plan of flying the spaceship straight at the centre of New York because he happens to know that there's a likelihood that Grant, stroke, the ghost, will actually catch it. And so this is what happens. I'm just moving the wood a little bit. that's right. That's basically what happens. In the episode, it's about 10 minutes long, quite interesting to watch. But me actually covering it, it's awkward because that's basically what happens. And of course, then.
But there's some good lines, like the Doctor says, "That's actually quite a clever plan. I like it. But you know what Earth has? They have me."
Yeah, that's a good line.
Yay!
The other thing, of course, is that he catches the bomb while not dressed as the ghost, and of course that impresses Lucy. So he doesn't actually have to lie to her because she can see quite plainly what's happened. And
I like the bit where she says, "Oh, you know, prefer you with your superhero outfit on. I'm not sure." She puts his glasses on. That's a really cool bit as well.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, that's basically the end of the episode. But we do see the fact that they try and capture Mr. Sim, and his body's just empty, so he's gone somewhere. And then
there's a unit coming in as well.
Yeah, it's a unit coming in. But one of the unit soldiers is obviously one of the aliens.
Yes,
that's going
to
come back.
There's a reference to Osgood as well.
Yeah. And
so this means we're going to get these people again. Oh dear.
Quite possibly, yes.
What's wrong with unit? What have you got against unit, Kirby?
Not unit. And Harmony Shaw.
Oh, he doesn't like Harmony Shaw.
Oh, right. Sorry.
And then straight after that, as I was hoping, and you might have heard if you watched my live watching the story feed that I put on the 20 megabyte Facebook page, we get the preview for the forthcoming series, which is always very exciting.
That was good. Which I don't see Nardole in there at all.
Yes, he's in there.
Yeah, he's definitely in there.
He is, a few times.
Yeah. Fleetingly.
Oh, come on, he was brilliant.
Right.
Yeah.
So Calm down, everyone. So that's
I'm sad about the fact they got the Daleks again, because they were such a treat to come every now and then.
To have the Daleks at all. They have an agreement with the Terry Nation Estate. They must appear in every series.
I know, and I will always bemoan it.
So how are they... I know, but we can't do much about that. So either
the Dalek scene was just the one from the preview from months and months ago.
Anyway, right. So, we're going to talk about the episode for a moment. Having watched it difficultly with people talking in the background and getting in the way, we were having a buffet, I really, really enjoyed it. And having watched it yesterday evening, I really, really enjoyed it. So, right. This is a really good episode. I'm trying to pick out the bad things about it. There isn't much, to be fair. I'm sure other people hate it, but I just thought it was really good fun and not a lot of references to Christmas, so I was able to enjoy it as a standalone episode of Doctor Who. It was a homage to comic strip, Moffat was able to work things into the storyline to help me think, yes, that works. They've brought a superhero into it and it works for me. Comedy lines were great. The suspense was good. The drama was good. The special, everything. I absolutely love this episode.
Well, Adam, are you following the football, by the way?
I will be now. Now we've finished the episode, I'm going to flip over to the football. So, yes, I really, really enjoyed it. There's not much else I can say about it. I apologise to people who hate it, but I really liked it. Because you're back, Rhys, what did you think of it?
Well, I loved it too, actually. I was actually a little bit worried that we may get a little bit of Capaldi from his first season in that, and I'm not blaming Clara for this, but he was kind of the guest star in his own show. There were other factors that did that to him. Because I was worried that it'd be a very superhero-centric episode, and it'd be actually quite punchy and all that, which sometimes Doctor Who does, but it was a great mix of having the Doctor kind of return from his mourning and missing River, and in a great way. He was gone for a year for us, so he was gone for a long time for a lot of people. I thought that was good. But it was really just kind of an opportunity for Stephen Moffat, who quite likes superhero movies like I do, to point out some disparities or some, you know, less than realistic things about them. Like that whole rooftop scene, that date was absolutely fantastic. Some of the lines in that about it all were just brilliant. I was trying to find some on the transcript site because I've got one open now too, so I might actually do well in the quiz. But I can't. But it was just
cheater.
Great stuff. Cheater, yes, I know. I'm joining the club. But I just thought it was absolutely fantastic. I thought it wasn't anything too important on the list of all the episodes. It's just another episode. But I think we need that after a whole lot of massive ones. And I know the 50th anniversary was 3 years ago, but it still feels like we had then Capaldi's first season and then Clara going, and we've had all these major things happening, then River going. It's just nice to have a almost regular sort of episode.
Yes, exactly.
And one of my favorite bits, speaking of the comedy, was when they went to the Tokyo office or office it was for them.
Tokyo.
And he says, I distracted them with Pokemon.
Yes, that was brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yes.
I thought Matt Lucas was actually one of the biggest surprises. I mean, I don't mind him and his humor, but I can definitely understand why the majority of my friends either didn't like him in this or don't like him in general. But I thought he was much more toned down than he usually is. And his speech at the end about the doctor and why he's been away and why he's been sad was perfectly delivered. I've never expected it from him. I've always seen him as just a funny guy, but that was dramatic, but with a sense of a bit of a poking fun as well in there. And I thought it was really nice.
No, so, I liked his character.
I enjoyed the episode.
It's nice to have the doctor to have a character, a male type character that he can just have a bit of banter with in that way. Yeah. That's just sort of in a way a little bit flippant, and I quite enjoyed having that character in the TARDIS. So hopefully that'll carry on.
Oh, something else I loved. Normally in superhero movies, you have the final confrontation, and it's very dramatic, it's very big, and in this one, there was a setup for it, which was the guy who played Gwen's brother in Merlin saying, do you think it's over, Doctor? And he goes, yeah, I do. And just hits him with the screwdriver and his gun stops working and he just walks off.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great, you know, anti-normal story setup for a superhero movie.
Yeah.
Despite the fact there were many references to superhero stuff. And they did. Marvel has this very particular thing with their comic timing where there's always a bit of a pause while something is happening and then they move on. And I feel like as soon as the ghost arrived and as he was getting shot and he was picking the bullets off his suit, that was very Marvel-esque.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, I liked the episode.
Good. That's right to hear.
Somebody else can go now.
Go on then, Debbie.
I liked it too. It was perfect Christmas fodder.
Yes.
It was just what was needed after a day of eating and trying not to fall asleep on the sofa and things like that. It was good fun. All of us watched it rather than someone walking off halfway through. All of my family sat down and watched it together, which is the first time that's happened in years. And it was just really good fun. It was great to see Peter Capaldi again, just being him, which is brilliant. And I liked the characters of Grant and Lucy. I thought that was touching and proper comic book. And I'm a big fan of comic books. So it was very familiar territory and just good.
What did you think of their accents?
Lucy's was interesting because, she's
British. So.
Yeah, I know she's British. No, I saw her in, Wolf Hall. She was in Wolf Hall as Mary Boleyn. Yeah. And, I can't really say there's anything bad about it. I mean, I've only watched it the once because we've been just so hectic, but I would like to watch it again. And Isla said she wanted to watch it again.
It's definitely rewatchable. It's definitely rewatchable.
Yes, definitely. And I don't always rewatch a lot of stuff when we've gone through so far, where we've gone through, I don't always rewatch, but, I enjoyed that. And I've I'm going to buy it and put it in my iTunes with my Christmas specials and, definitely go back to it, and Isla's asked to see it again, so good. Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Okay, Isla Kirby.
Was put off by the split heads.
She was a little disturbed by it, but when we started discussing what you could keep in there, she wasn't so bothered.
Okay. I'm just going to keep my brain in mind.
That was when I was a bit worried. When the eyes came out of the brain, and Isla sort of shrank slightly into her chair, and she was sat on her own. And I said, do you want to come and sit on me? Yes, please. She didn't quite go behind the sofa, but she sat on my lap.
If they keep guns and stuff in their heads, where are those brains going?
Exactly. They're using their stalks through the eyes or something, but they must be somewhere in the tummy. And we had quite a discussion about where it would be. And so, once she got sort of scientifically involved in the whole idea of it, she was a lot happier about it. But she's not as scared of them as she is Bastion Narada. I'm not even allowed to say that.
Well, don't say it then.
I think they had to find some way in which the guys had to open their heads. So they said, well, let's put guns in them, and then then we can open the heads and take the guns out. But if they didn't have the guns in there, then there wouldn't be a reason to split the head.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There wasn't any reason to other than the fact they've got the
intimidation, I suppose.
Yeah. When they bring these characters back, it's going to be tedious because they're just going to hide guns in there again.
Well, they might think something else to hide in there. You never know. Bear in mind, it's likely that if they do get brought back, it'll only be for one episode maybe in the new series, because I'm thinking that Chris Chibnall probably won't bring them back.
Don't care about.
Mm. Well, you saw that the security forces only had part of their heads with those little signal things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, who was I going to say? Kirby. Yes, you saw it. You saw it in the cinema.
Yes. Well, I've now seen it four times, including the most recent time was in the theater last night, which was really the best way to watch it with an audience. Although the volume was way too loud. They had this was a gathering of the people who run WhoLanta. That's the local Doctor Who convention, used to be called Timegate. And so they, even though they had all sorts of things up on the screen related to this in the half an hour before the showing, they turned down the volume so that we could have trivia contests and giveaways and stuff like that. And I won a little Fourth Doctor vinyl figure.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I've got that one.
Sure, yeah.
But when they were done with that and they turned the volume back up, it was just way too loud. But it was really fun to watch that and hear. They asked the audience how many people have seen this already and how many people is this the first time they're seeing it, and more than half the audience had waited to see it, so this was their first time, so that was really cool. Like I said, this is my fourth time seeing it. And I've just loved it every time and see new things. I'm sure you guys noticed, and it's now been pointed out other places, but I noticed it first time through, that the marquee of the theater in the street says The Mind of Evil.
No, I didn't notice that. No,
I didn't notice that. No.
Well, I put a little close up of at least a copy, copy. It.
Yeah,
but yeah, it says, and in the making of, you could see it very clearly. It says Mind of Evil.
I've only watched it a mere twice, though. If you've watched it four times, not really surprised.
Well, I saw it the first time through.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
But I look for things like that.
Yes, okay. Andy,
I just loved it. So.
Good, Andy.
Hello. Yes, right. Well, I've seen it twice. I saw it late on Christmas Day because we were eating dinner when we started, and I was slightly under the affluent of alcohol when I saw it, so I didn't quite take it all in. And I watched it again this morning while I was doing the ironing. So, but yeah, no, I enjoyed it because I always think that.
Good grief!
Good grief! What, Kirby?
I don't iron.
Yeah, but you're not a man then. You're not a real man then, are you, Kirby? You got iron, you're not a real man.
Good grief.
I used to iron when I had to wear basically the IBM type uniform. But I don't iron anymore. I'm very rumpled.
Sorry, ironing always makes me think of Dobby because he had to iron his hands.
I don't iron my hands. But give Dawn a shirt and an iron, and half an hour later she might have done the collar. But I was brought up, I'm from a family of five kids. And also lived on my own for several years. My mom taught us to cook, clean, iron, whatever. So I've been able to iron, which along the best of them. No problem.
I can iron. I used to iron.
Really, anyway, can we get back to the episode?
Yeah.
This is the 20 megabyte ironing podcast from now on. You've heard of extreme ironing. This is Doctor Who ironing. Ironing while watching Doctor Who. It's what I do. Anyway, yes. Rudely interpreted who it was. These days, I would regard the Christmas specials as they're almost a set aside from the main series. They're going to be a bit of fun, a bit of romp, so we can enjoy on Christmas Eve when you've had it, you know, a little bit of drink, you've had some good food, you want to sit in something, you want to slump and watch something really enjoyable, and that's what it was. It was a perfect Christmas episode, though there weren't the Christmas episode references in there. It was fun, it was frothy, it was light, but it did have a serious ending because you saw a sad doctor, and as Nadal said, you know, he saw Riversong die. They've been together for what, 24 years, I think he said.
Yeah, one night, which was 24 years. But they did say that in Silence of the Library.
24 years. But you can see he's going to be sad for a long time. But then you see where it was going. You've also set it up with the Harmony Show Company are still around, or at least one of them is still around somewhere. We don't know what the unit would have done with the rest of them. You know, like the guy who the Doctor blew the gun away from, who obviously presumably was then picked by UNIT, but there's still one of them there, Dr. Sim. But yeah, it was fun. There's a lot of laughter in there. I mean, I'm not a big comic fan, so I didn't get the references. I don't do Star, Superman or Spider-Man, anything like that. I understand there were references to it, so I could see, oh, that's a reference to Superman. I didn't understand what the reference meant. But for me, it was something to enjoy. And I think Joseph Capaldi is really setting a standard as a Doctor. I hope he does maybe two more seasons. And I think that's been about it, really, for him. That's as far as he can really go.
Well, I'd like him to do at least one more series after this one, so he can do the four.
Sorry, I didn't catch that. We'll say again, Adam.
I'd like him to do at least the one more series after this one, so he can do the four and break that habit of them always just doing three series.
Well, that's what I said. I wanted to do. I think I'm going to do a couple more. Then it probably will be time. So he will be getting. He'll be hitting 60 then, won't he? Perhaps it's time for him to move on. I think Nardole is going to be a good recurring character, one that can bring back, you know, like with UNIT, like with Brigadier, people like that, they can bring back in every now and then. I've completely forgot the new character's name. I've gone completely blank.
Well, Bill.
Nardole.
Bill, thank you, Bill, yes.
Oh, Bill.
Yeah, Bill, I think, I like the trade at the end, because I think where Bill, you know, there's some good lines that I serve chips, can I use the toilet, it's a kitchen. Somebody's compared it to Ace. I don't think so. I think it's...
Well, only because she calls the Doctor Professor.
Yeah, but no, she says he's a professor.
All right.
He's different things. She doesn't call him professor, he's a professor. I think that's the difference.
Okay.
I think that's what we're picking up on.
Yeah.
But she's obviously going to be a slightly feisty character, I think is the best way of looking at it. So I think there's a lot of good stuff coming up for the new year. Yeah.
Mm.
People were saying the Nivellans are in the... they saw them in a trailer. I've seen them about five times. I still haven't seen them.
Let's see them.
Mavellans.
Oh, Mavellans, right.
Trailer. I haven't seen them.
I didn't see them.
No, oh, God, it's not quite. So it's not just me, then. But no, I think it's Christmas Day.
Whose phone is ringing?
Probably Mary's.
Usually Mary's.
Yeah. Well, for a Christmas Day special, it was a good laugh. It was a good romp. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Don't take it too seriously. And we'll see what happens in April.
Yes, thank you, Andy. Mary, are you off the phone yet?
Yeah.
Okay, well, everybody, prepare yourselves. Here we go. Don't build jokes up, everyone. It's Mary.
Actually, you know, like Andy and Reese were saying, you know, it's Christmas episode. It's fluff. It's a bit of fun. And for that, it was fun. It was fun to sit through the first time. I really enjoyed it. The second viewing, I mostly enjoyed it. It was a little boring because there wasn't anything, you know, like really to grab onto. But, you know, I take it for what it is. And it was just fun. So I did enjoy that aspect of it. But something very important has happened. There's a shift that has taken place that I'm so hoping it continues. Where having Nardole as a companion, you know, he was in neither here nor there. I don't know the comedian, so I don't know, you know, that this is a big change for him. But, he was a bit of comedy in this. And the interesting shift that I see take place is the Doctor having a companion who's just kind of a sidekick that he can play off of.
Yeah, exactly.
So the Doctor came across as the smart one who was handling everything and, you know, still having his fun, whereas his companion was doing the what is this Doctor and why are we doing this and all that, you know, while being a little silly. Whereas
he's also able to drive the TARDIS and just get move the story on a bit as well. Which
and he points out that like. The bases aren't all in capital cities, which I quite liked. That was fun.
The Doctor was the central character that everybody, of course, depends on. And I loved that line about, you know, why do Americans or why does Earth never have any great plans? You know, because they have me. It was so perfect. And it is a switch from these past series where he was the buffoon and the one who couldn't relate to people and all that. While Clara was the Doctor, she was the one in charge. Whereas in this episode, I feel like, ooh, finally, we have a Doctor who's in charge. And I hope that they continue this on. And having Bill as a companion makes me hope that, you know, that they're on the right track with him now, with the Doctor and having, you know, kind of a goofy companion, as opposed to it being the other way around, which is why I've been so aggravated these past seasons, is, you know, when does the Doctor get to be a Doctor?
Yeah.
And to me, it started with this Christmas episode. So if anything, my hopes are high, and I'm looking forward to the new series.
Yeah. Could I add something to that as well?
Yeah, go on, sorry, carry on.
looking at the trailer, I'm quite happy that Doctor Who looks like it's going to be happy from now on, because it's been it gets quite morose in places. Like when, all the way back when David Tennant was going to regenerate, we had that prediction that you're going to regenerate, and the Doctor got all gloomy, and then the same happened with Matt Smith. And then I just felt like, because we knew Clara was leaving, that a lot of people were holding out for it to happen because they just got sick of her, which is fair enough. But I just felt like the stories were kind of saying she's going to die, she's going to die, and I don't really want to know what's going to happen in the finale when I'm watching episode 7 sort of thing. So it looks like it says in one of the captions in the trailer, actually, see the universe anew, and I like that Bill might bring this positivity and new energy to it, which is what I've been waiting for a while. So
She also says, can I use the toilet?
Yes.
Yeah, there's some good one-lines from her, isn't there?
I will say, though,
used for so long. This is the Doctor I want, and I want Capaldi to play him.
Yeah, I just want to say, this is what you're basically saying, what I was just about to say, Mary, that I absolutely love Peter Capaldi as a Doctor. It makes me, when he's on the screen as a Doctor, like he was in this story, it makes me just, well, I want more. Keep it going. This is why I said, and he said, well, let's get another couple of years out of him. I don't know how many years I get out of him. If we keep on getting this Doctor, I could have another 10 years. I'd be really happy.
He's only going to give us one more year.
This is hopefully
going to be Isla's Doctor as well, because she's actually sitting down to watch this past series.
Because there's a little bit of all the other Doctors in him, which is what it should be. He does sort of do a lot of sort of Tom Bakerisms while portraying a sort of Pertwee-style Doctor.
Sorry. That he can't help channeling the previous Doctors, even in any acting role he has, because that's how he learned to act. He just watched Doctor Who and then impersonated it in the playground.
I'm hoping that this is our Doctor now, and I'm hoping Capaldi sticks with it, though I'm afraid he's only going to do one more year.
Well, if he's doing one more year, that's four,
isn't it? Valence in this.
He won't go anywhere in a hurry. He loves
I reckon he'll love having Bill there, and then he'll love having Chris Chibnall writing, because even if he's not brilliant, which I'm hoping he is, but I don't have great feelings about Chris Chibnall, to be honest, given his previous work. But
it's probably a good thing.
To be open-minded. I feel like after the change of lead writer and the change that will come to the show, I think Capaldi will go, well, this is fun. I might do another season of this after the first one.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I hope you're right.
And well done, Kirby.
Don't bring Clara back.
Kirby, well done.
Yes. Wait.
Well done for not saying series when Reese said season. So well done to you there.
I was distracted.
What were you doing? You were playing with your
I am going through very slowly, almost frame by frame, through the trailer
to try and find
these alleged Movellans, and there may be.
Yeah, we thought we might have Movellans in previous trailers, so maybe they're actually going to do it this time. You never know.
I doubt it. I mean, we thought there was going to be
We thought we were going to get Nymon in the last series, if I remember rightly, when in the Me episode, I think.
Yes, we did, didn't we?
That didn't transpire either. Anyway.
And it was a completely different thing, wasn't it?
It was indeed. I think we should move on to feedback, everyone. Okay, our resident feedback auditor. what they call it when somebody reads things out, beginning with the letter A? Orator, is that it? No?
It'll do.
Oh, I'll just call her Debbie Melrose.
Presenter?
The very articulate Mrs. Melrose with her extremely...
I got compliments of Alan T. Butcher when I read his last lot. Hey? There's only a couple of words through me, but I must admit, he really does... He's very erudite, isn't he?
Yes, he is. But this is why it's good that Debbie Melrose reads literacy.
He deliberately stumbles me because he thinks it's funny.
Well, to make up for that this week, you get to read some stuff that might not necessarily compumbulate, or whatever the word is.
Are you sending it?
I'm going to send it. Just let me get my words in edgeways. I'm just trying to build it up a little bit here, Debbie. Yes, the lady with the extremely long ponytail is just about to read some feedback, which has come from very, actually, usually quite brief feedback from this man. It's Jeff Waddle.
Extremely long ponytail.
You've got an extremely long ponytail. Last time I looked, have you just cut it off?
No. I've actually just just taken all the dye out of it, so it's going to be an interesting colour tomorrow.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is not Jeff Waddle's feedback. It's just Debbie talking about her ponytail. Debbie is now going to read out Jeff Waddle's feedback.
Jeff Waddle, okay. Well, it's very similar, isn't it? Despite that, it wasn't bad at all. I think it was better for me because I don't watch any superhero films or read the comics. Capaldi on great form. Nardole kept to a minimum. Let's face it, he's just Strax. And a simple enough story with a baddie that had a plan that made absolutely no sense. It shouldn't work, but somehow it does. Not great, but better than what I expected. Trailer. Yes, I saw the alien race from Dysentery of the Daleks. I'm not keen on the new companion at all, and having her serving chips in a school is hardly a new idea. But there was enough there to be intriguing.
Really?
Without it being mind-blowing. I just hope they keep Nardole to a minimum, and to be honest, just give Capaldi some decent stuff to work with for a change. I hope you all had a brilliant Christmas, and wishing you all well for 2017. Cheers.
And a very Merry Christmas to you too, Mr. Waddle.
Indeed.
Happy New Year, Jeff.
Happy New Year, Jeff.
It was delightfully positive there from Jeff.
Yeah. No swears.
It was indeed.
Well, I agree. Keep Nardole to a minimum.
Podcast is in Kirk.
Hey, happy Christmas.
Return of Dr. Mysterio. Broadcast 1 year since the last episode. This makes no sense to me for BBC finances. This story follows on from the 24 years the Doctor spent with River Song. The consequences of the roof device failure are not mentioned, so it was just to advance the plot. The boy mistakes the Doctor for Santa, so that would make it Christmas Eve or Christmas Day when they meet. The story correctly predicted no snow in New York this year at Christmas. We've seen the Daily Planet rooftop symbol, but it is not the Daily Planet. The ghost is sort of Superman, but not Superman for legal reasons. The mask gives him a touch of Batman. Nardole is a bald man who lost his head and knew River Song, Mac Dorian, the blue man. We do not get to meet Bill until next year. There are 12 days of Christmas, so it is not too late to wish you a Merry Christmas. Bye for now.
Merry Christmas, Ian.
Same to you, good sir.
Merry Christmas, Captain Kirk. And a Happy New Year, sir.
Anybody Master? Like to clear a few things up for Ian there? No?
Like what?
Well, you just said master, which normally means you want to interject somewhere along the line.
Oh, I wanted to interject. I was reading along there, but in the same comment thread, which is mostly me, I noted last night that the director of this episode, he's directed several episodes last year as well.
Yes.
He was once the lead guitarist of the Vapors. Whose famous one-hit wonder was
turning
Japanese.
Cool.
We've redone for the England football team 1 year. Do you remember that, Adam?
Oh, what? Sorry.
Do you remember that when it was redone for the one of the World Cup tournaments?
Was it?
Japanese. Yeah, it was. I think Dawn actually bought it for me as a birthday present.
Oh, I don't remember that one. Sorry.
I'll find it and play it in the next podcast.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you very much. Right, we have had a few bits coming through on the live video feed. Alan T. Butcher said, I'm writing Corey Bunticelli right now. Don't know what that means. Patrick Bishop has broken away from doing his own podcast to saying nice screwdriver. I suppose that must mean he's got some sort of cocktail going. Either that or he's been seeing my Ninth Doctor Sonic screwdriver here, which is currently on display in my hand. Ian Kirk then said, Echo, open the pod bay door. I'm sorry, I can't do that. Ian Kirk then said, Corey Bantic definition, frenzied, agitated, unrestrained, see more, dictionary.com. That's about it. We've got other likes from Anne Marie Blackall. Hello, Anne Marie. My mum, and who else has liked it? Ashley Hughes, David McWhirter, Den Palmer, and that's about it. So everybody who's taken the time to like or listen or watch, thank you.
Master, did you notice that I did not ask Echo a single thing for the past 45
minutes or so? Yes, thank goodness for that.
You already said you shut her down because she was taking bandwidth.
It's rather leading to the fact he's just about to ask her something. Or not. Are you not?
No, I just turned her back on, though.
Oh, good. He's found a female that... Never mind. I'm not going to say it, sorry.
Well, don't commit a crime in your home or Echo will...
Echo. Open the pod bay doors, please.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that. I'm not Alan. We're not in space.
Shut up, Kirby. Right then. Debbie, I've just dispatched to you.
How many people here listen to the Staggering Stories podcast?
I do. That's kind of what gave me the
idea. There's still the things with Alexa. It's been hilarious, hasn't it?
I basically, it's the same device. It's just that my wife... objected to my calling it Alexa because she once knew an Alexia that she didn't like. This was 30 years ago, so it doesn't matter if this Alexia hears this. So she didn't want me to call it Alexa, so we're calling it Echo.
Right.
But she's calling you Dave.
That's because that was from the script, Mary.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Can we get back to the feedback, please?
Echo.
Oh, grief.
These aren't the droids we're looking for.
Move along.
I can't find the answer to the question.
Debbie, I've just dispatched to you some feedback from Alan T. Butcher. Comment? Thank you very much.
The Return Arturo Villa's Apothecary. Dear 20 Megabyters, The Return of Dr. Mysterio is, of course, a closely studied psychological exploration of personal confidence contextualized within a truly corybantic narrative. Grant's double life is a symptom of his uncertainties belied by his capacity to cope with the frenetic scenario he has constructed in order to stalk his long-wished-for inamorata, Lucy. Indeed, his coping is even more remarkable than his superpowers. The Doctor's return to Grant's life is counterpart to his return to ours and frees him to break the bind he has perpetuated, thus allowing him to resolve the impediment to happiness with which he has been hampered. My God, I need a bit of somewhere. And which has been creating unbridled stress. Clearly, just as the Doctor facilitates and encourages us all. The alien invasion subplot, planning to remove world leaders' brains, is perhaps an allusion to the current affairs. We also learn that having your head cut off and glued back on can bring considerable wisdom and emotional intelligence. We can now actually look forward to Nardole next year. All in all, The Return of Dr. Mysterio is an enjoyable curtain raiser for Series 10. There was a semi-apology for being away too long, a clear positioning of our hero's current outlook and a promise that he's back, and it seems not a moment too soon. Next up in the spring, party like it's 1979 with Daleks versus the Disco Robots. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Thank you, and well done, Debbie.
Yes.
I should have sent that to Reese to read out, really. That would have been quite interesting. All right, then, everybody. Yes. It's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
I won't. All right.
Yes. Don't worry, it's not a very long one this week. That's what she said.
That's what she said.
And don't worry, also, I do have questions banked up from the episodes that various members of this show couldn't be bothered to turn up for future episodes of.
I'm in trouble.
You won't get this one, of course. Bearing in mind that our next episode we go back to the journey, and we'll be looking. I think it's a Claws of Axos, wasn't it, everyone?
Yes, and we've done that one already, so it ought to be fairly easy.
If you say so, Kirby. Right, so we're going to start with Mary. Who do you think is going to win?
Debbie. She's got 8 pages, she said.
I think that was Kirby who had 8 pages. Reese, who do you think?
How did she do 8 pages and only
watch? And watch it once? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, she did
that.
8 pages, Kirby, because she writes it on a post-it notepad.
No, I can write without looking.
Reese, who do you think is going to win?
It's true.
You.
Foolish.
No, I'll go for Kirby.
Oh, you changed your mind. You Kirby, right? Kirby, right then. Debbie, who do you think's going to win?
Kirby.
I think Kirby's going to win. Funny enough, although it might be a tactic that he's sort of put in to try and distract us from picking you, Debbie. And Andy, who do you think's going to win?
Yeah, I'm going for Kirby. If he's seen it four times, I'm going for Kirby as well.
Good. Okay. Yeah, right. This won't take long. Not that many questions.
Wait,
so
you didn't ask me.
All right, Kirby, who do you think's going to win?
Debbie.
That could be disastrous for you, Kirby. But never mind. Eh?
It's fine. It's not as if there's a prize going.
There is a prize. It's the title of the Christmas champion. Anyway, you won't get this one. Right then. I was going to say something. Then you put me right off the beaten track.
Well, that's my job.
Good for you. Yeah.
Right. Where's my bell?
You can ring my bell. Ring my bell.
Hang on. A very important piece of equipment has once again disappeared.
Oh dear.
All right. Quiz is over. Okay. Good.
Backup plan. Backup plan.
I'm going to have to unplug Alexa again.
Found it. There we are. I'm belled up. I've got a burp now. Pardon me. Right. First question goes to Kirby.
Master.
What were the words in the think bubble at the beginning of the story?
It wasn't on his script.
He's scanning back.
Okay, he's looking.
Good. Anybody?
No.
Stop him.
Good. That's looking okay. Good for me now. The answer was, who are those guys? Debbie.
Yes.
How did the Doctor end up at the end of a rope?
I think I know.
His usual buffoonery?
Not quite the answer that we're looking for on the script. Yeah, go on then, Andy.
I think it's he set a trap and he tried it out.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's correct. My bell didn't quite go off properly.
That's what she said.
Reese.
Yes.
What did Grant give the Doctor?
I know.
Oh, yes, I know.
Milk and biscuits / cookies, whatever you want to call them.
Right, that's correct. Debbie. Debbie?
Yeah, wasn't Kirby in front of me then? Yeah.
Debbie had just had a question.
Hang on, what's going on here?
You did Kirby, Debbie, then Reese.
Why has it gone in a funny order?
Kirby. Yeah.
Mary, have I done a question to you yet?
No.
Well, that... Oh, I know why, because I've put everybody's names on the wrong side of the... right then. Who's had a question?
You've forgotten everyone's name.
Shut your face. Kirby. Kirby.
Debbie a question either.
Kirby? Hello, Kirby.
Who, me?
Yes, you. Have you had a question yet?
Yes.
Right,
yes,
Mary.
Kirby, me, Reese.
Be quiet. So
Mary and I are the only ones who haven't had questions.
Then there's Mary and Andy yet to go.
Yes.
Good. Well, I'll just put a dot next to the people who have had questions. I do apologise, everybody. That is normally a lot more slicker than this. Rob Lansdowne had been watching the show. He's probably gone home now. Right, so it's just Mary and Andy who are waiting for it. All right, Mary, then. That question goes to you. Okay. Well, this question, sorry. What was the Doctor building on the roof?
I know. We've had it already as well.
Are we doing jokers? I'll play my joker.
Yeah, go on and play your joker.
Yeah.
A time distortion equalizer.
No, I'll give you that, because you are missing a word from that. You are missing a word from that.
We mentioned it earlier.
Well, because you said the word that she was trying...
She gets it,
because Andy didn't give her a chance to say the last bit, so she gets that one.
Yeah.
Bad luck, Andy.
Well, I'll let her have it anyway, but...
Would you?
I'm being Kirby.
Yeah. Okay, right, the next one is Andy.
No, you aren't.
Okay, Andy.
Don't be pedantic.
Andy.
Mate, yes, hello.
How old was Grant when he swallowed the gemstone?
I know.
Oh, bugger, Joker 8.
Apparently.
Is that your full answer?
Great. Right, so then now we can go back to the beginning now and get everybody in the correct order. I do apologise for this. As I say to the listeners, it's normally a little bit slicker than this. But I haven't done it for a few weeks. Now I'm drinking Stella. Kirby.
Master.
What was the baby's name?
I know.
Joker.
You've only got one Joker, not four.
It's not Joker.
Jennifer.
Right, Mary. This is the correct order now, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yes. Yeah.
What did the doctor eat while snooping?
I know.
His snack, it looked like sushi.
Reese.
Yes.
Why did the doctor visit Grant at school? And don't forget, there's jokers in this game.
I was going to say Mr. Freeze for another doctor, another superhero character.
I take it that.
I think I know.
Yeah. What's the actual answer?
Why did you visit him?
I think I know.
I'm just going to say check up on him, but that's probably going to be too vague.
It is wrong, yes. Anybody? Oh, yeah, Andy, said I know. Go on.
Replacement algebra teacher.
That was obviously a fib.
Well, that's technically who was he pretending to be, not why did he check up, but why did he come back?
He asked the doctor, why are you here? And that would be the answer. Yeah. Why are you here? Because he was a relief algebra teacher. Debbie.
Yes.
Who feels pain?
Mr. Huffle.
Should have played your joker.
No, it's so sad. I was going to say popcorn, as we found out at the 50th anniversary from Strax.
Andy.
Yep.
It's true.
What message did Grant broadcast to the nation?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. No, I'm
going
to
play.
No.
Somebody said I know. Was it you, Debbie?
No, I didn't say I know. I laughed, but...
I think
I know.
Oh, did you say that you know, Kirby?
Very well. Yeah.
Go on then, Kirby.
I think Kirby going first.
Kirby?
Well, did Mary only laughed. I mean, is Mary...
Well, I laughed. Yeah, I know the answer, but I
laughed. I don't know
hang
exactly
on.
How you
phrase it. Who gets the answer?
Well, go on then, Mary. I'm going to give that one to you because you laughed in a way that said you knew the answer. Go on then, Mary.
That it's very important to have fire detectors or smoke detectors.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. It was so get a smoke detector.
Yeah. I'm not sure of the exact wording.
Right then, so we'll have a score update because there's not very far to go in this quiz. In joint last place with 2 points each, it's Debbie and Reese. In fourth place with 4 points, it's Kirby. In third place with 5 points, it's me. In second place with 6 points, it's Andy. And in the lead with 7 points, it's Mary. Kirby. Hey.
No, really?
Kirby, it's your question.
Master.
Okay.
What time did Lucy arrange to have dinner with the ghost?
I know.
What time was that's oh, that's right, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, he's madly scanning through.
Yeah.
No.
Mary, where did not... Hang on, the dogs want to come in. Bear with me.
Come on. In you come. Come on.
I don't remember the dogs coming in the episode.
Oh, good grief.
One of them came in, the other one skulked off back to the other room. Right. Okay, where'd I get to?
Mary,
where did Nardol get his robes?
I know.
Oh, from Constantinople.
I'll give you that one. It was 12th century Constantinople.
12th century, yeah, 12th century.
So that's essentially correct. Reese.
Yes?
You won't get this one. What did Jennifer have stuck to her bedroom door?
Ooh,
good my joker, joker. Correct. It's my joker, this one.
Blimey.
Go on.
Is that a go on you don't know?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, yes. And somebody said blimey. Does that mean they know?
No, I've no idea at all.
Anybody?
Yeah. No.
Excellent. No. It's butterflies. Okay, Debbie.
Yes.
How did the doctor distract the Japanese?
We all know that one.
We all know that one.
Pardon, Debbie?
Play
your joker, yes.
Yeah, Pokemon.
Yeah, but what did he do with them?
What did he do with them?
Yeah.
Put in the lobby, didn't he? Oh, yeah, I think I know.
I think that's... I think you get the points by default. Andy really should have points deducted for that. But there you go. Yeah, go on.
I can answer with the exact phrase.
The exact phrase was he flooded the downstairs with Pokemon. But don't worry, Debbie, you got the points.
Mm.
All right, Andy.
Huh, she should.
Okay, yep.
Well, Andy shouldn't have said the answer, Kirby. I'm sorry.
And that would definitely send Kirby running.
Yeah.
It just said I flooded downstairs with Pokemon. There was nothing about a lobby.
All right,
or
stop being pedantic. Andy,
I've got the exact picture
shut
here.
Up.
The lobby's downstairs, isn't it?
Shut up. Shut up. Right, Andy.
Yes.
Why couldn't the aliens get to the Doctor and Nardole on the spaceship?
He triple locked the door.
No, he triple deadlocked the door.
Oh, shut up, Kirby. Yes, that's correct.
Have I played my Joker, Adam? I think I have.
Yes, you have, yes.
Okay, yes.
I hope you got the next question.
I don't think Reese has played his Joker, to be fair. I think everybody else has.
There's a perfect question coming up after that triple deadlock.
Yeah, okay. Well, what I'm saying, there's only two questions left, so these are all free-for-all questions. All right?
Well, can I ask a question?
Well, it won't count for anything, but... No, you can ask your question after these next two questions.
Well,
it's
obvious.
Right.
Well, you should have asked.
Be quiet. Right, the next question is a free-for-all. What hand did Grant hold the spaceship up with?
I know.
Kirby said I know first. Go on, Kirby. Right. Okay. And the final question is, it's a free-for-all question, why did Grant not have to be the ghost anymore? Oh, it's gone very quiet.
Because the Doctor was back.
Did you play your Joker then, Reese? I didn't quite hear.
Yes, we, yes, I heard you say Joker.
Which concludes that part of the game, right? So
you should have asked how long would the triple deadlock seal hold?
Should I?
10 minutes. What's on the back of the baby's door?
For at least 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kirby.
What's the point of that? I think it's a far better question he asked.
Good grief.
I think, Reese, Kirby, you should do a quiz one time. Let's see how you do it.
No need to start arguing.
I'm not arguing. I'm just suggesting that perhaps Kirby should do the quiz one week.
What, do the questions?
Someone will get points.
Yeah, do the questions. The quiz.
That's not a bad idea,
why
actually.
Why not?
He's gone all quiet now, hasn't he? That's the way to do it now.
You guys are all being distorted because of some sort of problem on my
internet. You need to reboot.
Turn off Echo.
Yeah, Echo.
Right. I unplugged Echo.
Okay, it's not gone too well this week for the scoring. Here's the final scores. Right. Well, not the final. Sorry, these intermediate scores. Right. So in last place, joint last place with 6 points each was Reese and Debbie. In joint second place with 8 points each was Kirby, Mary and Andy. And in the lead with 9 points, it's me. Unfortunately, nobody picked me, so the scores stay exactly the same. So I won the Christmas episode, woohoo, by 1 point.
And watched it while the show.
Okay, it's now time for a bit of Doctor Who news. Now, we'll say...
Adam, do you want to do the half-time score, by the way? Or
it's 1-1. Yes, it's...
I was going to say...
Southampton 1, Tottenham 1. And Tottenham are very fortunate to get the 1.
I didn't follow it like Tom was, but I saw that it was a good result.
It was a good win. I mean, we really left it late. It was a bit tense at the end. But, it was good. Blooming cold, though. Jesus, it was cold.
It certainly looked cold.
I'm glad we didn't take Tommy with us this time, because, 80,000 people is a bit much to take him to a crowd that big. We'll take him next Saturday.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who news. I didn't point out that in one of the newspapers they listed the top 10 Christmas hits for on TV for this year, and Doctor Who was number 7, which I thought was quite good, above Emmerdale in the thing. The winner was Strictly Come Dancing Christmas Special.
Weren't ratings generally down though this year? I've seen a couple of things
just
on Facebook
all round TV, but on the
generally
on the larger scheme of things, Doctor Who was the I think it was number 6 or 7, which is pretty good on a Christmas day to be that, you know, to get one of the, and the BBC just completely stomped over ITV. I think ITV only had Coronation Street in the top 10, so pretty good going for Doctor Who there. Also, according to the news, the Return of Dr. Mysterio had an audience appreciation AI score of 82, which apparently is very good as well.
That's good.
Yes.
Mm. It deserved it. It was good.
There's a various press reactions. I hope somebody can see these because the text is too small for me to read because I haven't got
it. It was certainly no Dr. Widow and Wardrobe.
Beg your pardon? Oh, goes without saying.
Yeah, really.
Remember when we did the podcast for that and we were all trying to say positive things?
It was just a fascinating part.
I try not to remember that. I will say, right, the Daily Telegraph said that's the happiest, most heroic Christmas special in years. Radio Times, which would say this because this is a BBC, essentially BBC sort of favoured thing. A beautifully packaged hour of uplifting escapism. It says it won plaudits from Los Angeles Times. The episode plays very much to Moffat's strengths. He has a talent for fast-paced farce with characters going in and out of doors and portals in time and space. Now, it's quite interesting because obviously there's a big episode of Sherlock coming up soon, which also has some connection to Stephen Moffat. So he's had a bit of a Christmas and New Year this year, Moffat, before fading into the darkness for next year. The Guardian says there are only scant functional references to Christmas in this Return of Dr. Mysterio. Rather, it channels the classic 3:10 p.m. movie of yore, specifically the Richard Donner / Christopher Reeve Superman films.
This isn't the first time they've only just barely touched on Christmas.
No, it isn't. But yes, some positive stuff there. I'm not going to read every single one of them. It also says the Christmas special Return of Dr. Mysterio had an estimated audience of 5.68 million viewers, which will go up obviously with iPlayer and things like that, and a share of 27.1% of the total TV audience according to the unofficial overnight figures. And according to this thing, it was number 7 behind EastEnders, Call the Midwife, which was great, Coronation Street, Mrs. Brown's Boys Christmas special, which was great, the Great Christmas Bake Off, which was good fun, and Strictly Come Dancing Christmas Special. So there you go. But above the Queen's Christmas Broadcast, Emmerdale, Frozen, ITV News and Weather, The Lion King, BBC News, Paul O'Grady for the Love of Dogs at Christmas, ITV News Weather again, May Gray's Dead Men, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, Home Alone, Her Majesty the Queen on another channel, ITV One, and You've Been Framed, Harry's Naughty List. So that's where Doctor Who features in the TV charts of Christmas Day. And then they've got obviously a link to the trailer for the new series, which apparently is going to start in the spring. But spring starts when it actually starts. So if they're really being truthful to themselves, March 23rd
will be, won't it?
Yes, apparently, yes. But probably not. It'll probably start somewhere in April. But then we're going back to when it used to be on, when RTD was in charge. So we've gone full circle. They've tried it various times of the year, and now going back to trying it at the time that it was at its most popular. Yeah, very good, Andy. Well done.
Thank you.
There's not much else news, really, other than that. But, yeah, so we decided, as a group at the 20 Megabyte Podcast, that this episode of Doctor Who was rather good. That was it to sum up.
Yes.
Yeah. Totally enjoyed. I think it's really enjoyable.
Yes.
Now I'd like to listen or hear of any negative stuff people may have heard from other sort of Doctor Who related.
Other than the fact that they blatantly ripped off Superman.
Did they? Naughty.
Missed the point, didn't they?
I heard nothing negative.
Well done, Kirby.
People not really keen on Matt Lucas. But
I think the only negative I've heard of is where I myself don't like reuse of a split head.
Christmas. Why is it when we get to the nitty gritty part of the episode, when we get to sort of start winding it down, Kirby, your internet goes tits up?
My internet does that all the time.
No, it's about time you get it sorted out.
So they've laid the cables, have they?
No, they laid the conduit.
They've laid the elastic bands and the tin cups.
What? Can you hear?
Just about, yes.
Yeah.
What I was saying is the only negative I have heard is myself being negative about reusing the stupid split head.
Yeah. I'm not bothered about that.
That's,
about
and that just that only sort of bothered me, that much.
Yeah, no, it's a minor thing. I didn't even think of that, actually, to be fair. I thought, well, okay, someone, they brought back an alien, doesn't matter. I was just really enjoying
it. The only reason it bothered me is because it was used in the exact previous episode.
Which was last year's Christmas special.
It was a whole year ago.
Yeah. But then, in a way, it sort of made sense because they were bringing back another character from that episode as well.
Right, yeah. It, as we discussed half an hour ago, this is a two-part story.
Maybe so.
A year apart.
Yeah. Right, I wonder if anybody got their Christmas goodies from whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Because now, if you haven't, it's too late, but you can still buy other gifts and memorabilia from whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Funny enough, it is, actually, Kirby, yes. Like The Crusaders, a book by David Whittaker. The Daleks, a book by David Whittaker. The Doctor Who magazine, 507, which obviously you get much quicker if you order it through Doctor Who... whowon.co.uk than it would be if you lived in America, obviously. I keep on harping on about this, but it is actually the case. And Australia, for that matter, Reese. excuse me. And what else we got here? The Doctor Who magazine yearbook 2017. Cool, they're just like being in Australia. They're a year ahead of themselves. It's got a picture of Bill and the Doctor on the cover. All available to buy right now from whowon.co.uk. Stop flapping your ears.
I'm sorry.
All they've got on pre-order is a load of Big Finish CDs, such as Santarum's Absolute Power, Cold Fusion, New Countermeasures 1, Original Sin, Outbreak, and a book called Pirate Planet by James Goss. So, whowon.co.uk for your Doctor Who memorabilia, and if you hurry to lavazi.co.uk, you might just be able to grab a Christmas hat and scarf.
Lavarzi, my favorite of our sponsors. And by the way, I noticed that that he even liked the picture where I mentioned I was wearing it.
Yes, he likes quite a lot of things, though. I mean, he actually likes the idea of employing Debbie at a future Doctor Who festival. So, yeah, don't get too excited about that. Yeah, so but you can still lay your hands
on... First time he's liked a picture that I posted on the Facebook page.
Okay. Well, also,
so I feel honoured.
I can sort of trump that because I posted a link to the a previous episode of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast on another group, which friend of the show, John Davey, who was actually in this episode we just talked about, actually liked. So you can get the Christmas hat and scarf now. I'm pretty sure that it's likely to drop off their range for a bit and come back again next year. And they're $14.99 for the hat, $19.99 for the scarf. That's lavazi.co.uk. My voice is starting to go, and we're lucky I've actually got a voice at the moment, because during Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, I had nothing to speak with, so I thought I wasn't actually going to be able to do much on this episode. So while it's starting to go, and the football is now moved into the second half, you guys can actually, if you want to sum up and do some final words, please do so while I have a sip of this can of Stella to try and ease my throat. That's all I'm drinking it for, is easing my throat. Okay.
Sure.
Well, that was supposed to spur you lot into speaking.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. It's been a good series. I'm looking forward to the next series. I think it's been set up. There's a lot that we got a taster from the trailer. Yeah, again, I'm not quite sure how the Daleks back again, but yeah.
It has been quite a while since we've had new episodes to look forward to, a series, in fact. But it doesn't feel that long, but it has been rather a long time.
When you realise how long
could
it's
someone
been...
say, tell me what we're talking about, because I cannot understand you at all.
Well, that's a shame.
So it's a thing called Doctor Who.
Yeah, we're talking about Doctor Who.
It's about this kind of
long-running BBC, British BBC institution that went a bit wibbly-wobbly for a few years, but it came back fighting.
Hang on, Debbie. No, it's a quintessentially British TV show. Kirby, you're American. What makes you like a quintessentially...
Bugger off, Pearson.
All I'm getting is weird noises.
That's
from
just what we're hearing
everyone.
From you, Kobe, so
that's
nothing new
much
there.
That's what we've been doing. Yeah, just weird noises.
Anyway, right.
If you guys are discussing when we're getting the recording next, you're going to have to tell me separately because I just can't understand a single word.
Marvelous. Well, that is actually that's something we could use to our advantage. Yeah, so next time, I presume we're probably going to be recording on a Sunday.
I should hope so.
Oh, you can hear that bit.
Oh, he heard that.
Yeah, I discovered what the problem was.
Did you? What, you didn't have the thing plugged in?
No, I had tried to bring up Doctor Who news, and it was still trying to load the entire page.
Bloody hell, Spurs have just scored. I'm not happy now. Sorry, just slightly distracted. Okay.
So what were you guys talking about when I couldn't hear you?
Nothing interesting, believe me.
We were explaining what Doctor Who was because he didn't know what we were talking about.
We're just talking about people who have got crapped internet connections. Right, so.
Sure.
Our next recording session, I propose, is the 8th of January because I'm on holiday. So that'd be rather good. We could record virtually any time that day. It's a Sunday. But I suggest.
Yeah, well.
Eh?
Yeah, we should be shot on Sundays, but knowing my luck, that'll be the one Sunday we decide to go. Recording let's open randomly.
Debbie, I'm not going to record during shop hours, okay?
Happy.
Good. So yeah, we'll aim for Sunday. We'll clear up a time a bit closer to the time. It might be.
You know what that day is in as a geek day?
The 8th of January.
That would be a year after Roy Batty was first activated.
Thank you for that. Thank
from
you for
Blade
that.
Runner.
Right, so 8th of January, Claws of Axos. I will say that I hope we can retain a few celebrities between now and then.
Yes.
It's been absolutely terrible the last week or so, the people we've had to say goodbye to. I was a bit worried about Her Majesty the Queen when they said she couldn't attend the church on Christmas Day. I thought, oh, God, not, you know, that. They seem to
be... that'll be the grand finale.
No, I do not want to lose Her Majesty the King because we like Her Majesty the Queen. She's sort of mother to a nation.
I was insane. She's going to go fairly soon, I would have thought.
Well, her mother lived till she was 103, so I was hoping we'd get a few more years out of her.
Yeah.
Anyway, so next week, Claws of Axos. I want to say next week, 8th of January. Please join us. And thank you, Reese, for coming on the show. Please come back. I know
you're very welcome.
I know you probably won't want to do any of the John Pertwee stuff.
Yeah, it'll be a year before we hear from him again.
A year before we hear. Well, we'll
hear
cross that bridge
him,
when we get to
him. We just might not hear him.
Yes. But as I,
that'll be Kirby we don't hear.
And of course, if you have any more babies or anything like that in the meantime, please let us know. All right, so.
We're not planning any.
Oh, by the way. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy New Year, everyone. Goodbye.
Happy New Year.
Bye, y'all.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
by Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.